Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am here with Tobin and Caleb. And today I am donning the nerd status and going to talk some fan fiction and clue these guys into what that is and why it's big, and especially if you're an adult listening, why you might want to ask your teen about it. Then we're also going to hit fan edits and then missing school, which is probably going to be a really interesting conversation as well. But let's dive into fan fiction, or fanfic, as you might have heard it called.
Yeah. Let's get weird. Apparently, yeah. This is weird, so let's get weird.
Fanfic. Let's just go all in, okay? Cannonball.
So fanfic is basically original writing by fans. So they take existing fictional characters, or they might take real people like celebrities, for example, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and then they write stories about them. Now, for legal purposes, they can't make money off of it. They are mostly posted online. There are two main sites, which are fanfiction.net and Archive of Our Own, or AO3 is what the internet told me it's also called. Oh. I'm not dorky enough to know like the.
I don't believe you. I don't
believe you. Nicknames for.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I'm looking at like the full novel under fan fiction, and I'm thinking, I think you know.
Okay, but basically, it's mostly from amateur writers. Some professional writers do it as a hobby, like if they want to play with certain characters, but aren't going to write a full book about it. But mostly, it's amateur writers. It's a lot of people who want to write characters the way they see them. Maybe they didn't like the way that the book ended, and so they're going to go write their own ending, or they want to see two characters get together. That's kind of...
You won't see like Stephen King writing the fanfic.
I don't know.
Right?
He probably does it in a ghost name, though.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, they're mostly by like screen names, so you don't really hear names. But they can be any length. So some are short stories and like all in one go. So like there aren't chapters, but there are like massive books. I was telling Tobin and Caleb, fanfic is all over book talk right now. Specifically Hermione and Draco Malfoy fanfic. I sound so dorky. They call it Dramini fanfic. But it's big. Okay. I'm on Book Talk, and so I know these things, but people post about it all the time.
Is it Draco and Hermione, like, love story?
Yes, so, like, alternate universe stuff if they got together. But people have posted about them like their books. And if you go on Goodreads, some of these fanfic, you can actually find them like it's a book. They're, like, over 800 pages. They have, like, 60,000 ratings. So, like, lots of people are reading them. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when you think of fanfic, some of it is dorky, but some of it are like these works that people are obsessed with and treat like books.
And so, and they're doing it all free time, basically. You can't make money off of it. It would be like if I did this for like a hobby.
Right. Technically, you can't, because if you do make money off of it, then you're encroaching on J.K. Rowling and her intellectual property, so you can't do that. But people are like binding them and selling them, so there's some money for some of these. But I don't want to get into that.
But I think that people, because you're about to talk about this, I think a little bit, but it also gets people noticed as a writer, and so then they can maybe take that and make their own projects off of it. So
yes, so I have seen some big fanfic people will say like, hey, I have an agent, so stuff is coming. So maybe they start in the fan fiction realm and then they get book deals of their own, which Tobin kind of teased. There are lots of books that started as fan fiction and then were kind of tweaked to be released as books. One of the most popular being 50 Shades of Grey, which started as a fanfic inspired by Twilight.
That's what? No. Like if you sat me down and be like, hey, you know, like what do you think this book's based on? There is no world in which I would have been like, it's probably a fanfic of Twilight. That is fair. Wow.
City of Bones is another series that's pretty popular. I want to say that's young adult. I don't quote me on that because I haven't read any of these actually that I'm talking about. But that was inspired by Harry Potter, but it's a published series. And then The Love Hypothesis is like a rom-com book, and it's pretty popular. That author is very popular, and that started as a fanfic inspired by Star Wars. I think that was a Kylo Ren and
Rey.
Fanfic is how that started. So the more you know. I just taught you something, hopefully. But I do think it's interesting that basically I think where this comes into teenagers is if they read a series or watch a show that they really loved and then they're sad when it's over, they might turn to fan fiction to continue reading about those characters. So I did this in college, so I haven't done it as much lately, but there were some books like Hunger Games, where like at the end of Hunger Games, you're like, ah, that's over. I want to know what would Katniss and PETA have done later? What about their kids? And you can go find fanfic of people who like write the next piece of their story. Or if you read, like I said, Harry Potter is the most popular topic on fanfic, like almost across the board. And lots of people wonder, like, what if Hermione and Draco were actually love interests? Or what if Harry and Hermione were love interests? And you can go find...
I need to ask a question that may derail us a little bit. My wife is a huge Potter person. I don't know. I've never read
the
books.
She's a Potterhead?
Sure. To a fault. I'll call her out. To a fault. We have way too much Harry Potter stuff. And it's gotten to a point now where anytime she has a birthday or Christmas, like, she just gets Harry Potter stuff. And she was... One day she was like, you know, everybody gets me here. I'm like, yes, because that's your personality. You've created that. That's your problem. Like, but my question is for people who have read these books, why do you want Draco and Hermione to be together? Isn't Draco like a terrible person? Like, what's happening? Is he just the bad boy that they want Hermione to be with?
Yes. My theory, Josh had this, me and Josh had the same discussion the other day. And it's interesting how this plays into it. Number one, I think fantasy, romantasy has taken a turn where people love the enemies to lovers trope. They started as enemies and then they became lovers. And so that would be where that comes in. Also, when Harry Potter released their special a few years ago with the actual actors, Tom Felton made a comment that Emma Watson had a crush on him when they were filming the movies and that he loved her. And so I think people took that and ran with it of like, oh, these actors love each other. Therefore, what if these characters loved each other as well? And we'll talk a little bit more about fan edits. You can see a lot. I've seen a lot of fan edits lately of people taking the Harry Potter movies and twisting it like they loved each other the whole time. Very interesting. But Harry Potter is... By far and away, if you go to fanfiction.net, there are 847,000 stories written about Harry Potter. Twilight is next with 222,000. Supernatural has over 100,000. Glee has over 100,000, which is like the TV show. Percy Jackson and the Olympians has 80,000. Star Wars has almost 60,000. And the Avengers has 52,000. So these are some of the big players, especially on that website. But I think teenagers might be interested in it because it's free. If you're a writer, it's a fun way to write stories without starting from scratch. You don't have to make up characters. You just get to take ones that are already created. You can search for exactly what you want to read. Like Hunger Games is another popular one. If you wished that Katniss ended up with a different character, you can find fan fiction for that. A lot of the Harry Potter stuff, if you wondered what happened if they lost to Voldemort and what that world would look like, I mean, you can find almost anything that you want in fan fiction. And like I said, it's free. But as you can probably guess by the fact that 50 Shades of Grey came out of fanfic, there is a lot of sexually explicit content. So a lot of people also come here looking for hey, I read this book and I wished that there had been more sexual content. You can for sure find that. And so be careful. Make sure you're talking to your teens about this. You can filter by content. You can filter by content level. And so you can filter that stuff out. But it's very popular in book talk. Like I said, people are talking about these like their books. And some of them that I've looked into, I'm pretty sure are very smutty.
Yeah. And that collective sound right now was all the parents being like, gosh, another thing that I have to keep track of because that I thought was safe. And no, it is not. It is not safe.
Right. Because all you need is your phone. If you have your phone and the internet, you can read these. But there are also lots of what's the word I'm looking for? There are lots of like tutorials online for how to get these on your Kindle, and it's free, and you can add artwork to it, and you can make it look like a book on your Kindle. And so they could be getting books that way for free. And if you don't know to look for it, you might not. But like I said, if they are reading fanfic, it's not 100% that that's what they're doing. They're not necessarily reading things that are inappropriate, but this would be a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
Which leads us into fan edits, because it's kind of similar of fans taking something and making it their own. Caleb, I think you might know a little bit more about this even than me.
Well, it's funny, like, yeah, because there's just a lot, and then, like, fan edits, especially like on TikTok, Instagram, anything like that. It's like it can take the form of anything. Like one of the big fan edits I saw before the Chiefs before the Chiefs Baltimore game was like a fan edit of like Lamar Jackson, of like it would go and show like Mahomes' wife like saying like, guess like they would have said like, what if we weren't in here? Well, anyways, like screaming at the phone, then like music plays, and it's like Lamar Jackson in the locker room with this music behind him. It's like, we need someone to save us, and it's like him and like his highlights. But like that, to me, like that's the easiest way to like put it, is like, you know, if you have a fan edit of like an athlete, it's like all of his highlights, and then you can have different fan edits of like, you know, I see a lot of like Heisenberg from like Breaking Bad, of like just clips from that show, or things that are like people think are cool, all the way up until like you had mentioned earlier, like editing it to where it seems like Hermione and Draco, you know, that whenever she punched him, I was like, ooh, you know, actually she liked him. And here's another clip from like a movie that's not even like in this, that's from a different movie completely, where it, it will stitch it together and seem like, you know, there is some tension there. But I don't know. It's just interesting too. I think a lot of it drives people to maybe see a show or a movie that they haven't in a while. Just cause people like love or hold on to that character and are like, man, I just like, this is like a hype reel of like my favorite moments with these characters.
I think that too plays into, like, we talked about before about how on TikTok you can watch movies like 3 minutes at a time. And that kind of plays into this as well, is that people can edit things and put them on TikTok and get, you know, 5 minute videos instead of like having to put it all on YouTube and stuff like that too.
Right. So the technical version, it's a version of a film modified by a viewer. It removes, reorders, or adds material to create a new interpretation of the original material. One thing that's especially popular on TikTok is people will make fan-made trailers. They might, I've even seen this done for books. Like if it's a book that doesn't have it, they will take all these different video clips from other movies and make it into a trailer for a book that doesn't have a movie coming even. Harry Potter apparently is the theme for this episode. But I saw one the other day that people took Harry Potter movies and even other Daniel Radcliffe movies and made a trailer about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which hasn't been, it's a Broadway play, but it hasn't been made into a movie yet, but they made a fan edit and it looked really cool. I was like, I would watch that. And so some people spend a lot of time on these, but it's similar to fan fiction. Like it's people being creative and thinking, I love these characters enough. Yeah. What if I put my own spin on it? Which is really interesting. But like I said, TikTok, I mean, you can find it all over there. I'm pretty sure there is like a fan edit website where a lot of these live as well. And I'll try to find links, but there have even been like very popular, well-known directors who have made fan edits and taken things and reworked them and changed them, which is pretty cool.
Cool. And like, to me, all like the fan edits, fanfic, like it, you know, like there's all the obvious downsides of, you know, with fanfic, like some of it is spicy or, you know, sexually explicit, or, you know, the good side of like, you know, maybe being able to be creative and write your own, you know, with characters you already like. But like, you know, I think there's an episode a few months back about like Parasocial and like the thought of like holding on and like forming these relationships with these characters, fictional or real people that are like, man, like they are my friend. They like, you know, I'm going to spend, you know, a vast majority of my time thinking about these fictional characters. You know, it's just interesting how we cling on to the things that we like.
Get that.
Well, if you have a student that is really into fan fictions or fan edits, and maybe they are spending too much time on them, and maybe they're missing school. So we're going to talk about missing school next. And students who are chronically absent, meaning that they haven't missed at least 10% of the school year, usually like 18 days or, you know, just a lot of the, it's almost has doubled since the pandemic. So truancy only measures unexcused absences. So like if you do have your kid missing for doctor's appointments or dentist, orthodontist, stuff like that, that doesn't typically factor into truancy. So here's some things.
It does go into that chronically absent.
It does, yes. But here's some things that just for the listener that might be barriers of why people are, why kids are being sick. And then we're going to kind of talk about some reasons more behind the scenes stuff. But obviously sickness, transportation issues, neighborhood violence is something that kind of plays out. Like if they know that either there was a fight or there's an impending fight, that typically can, especially in your more inner city areas, that can affect, that can affect the attendance. The housing and food insecurity, responsibilities at home, including work or watching younger siblings, and then bad weather is a big one. Also, I think post-pandemic, we're seeing a lot of aversion to school. There's a lot of academic and behavioral challenges, a lot of social anxiety for people who are still not quite used to being back at school. And just general mental health, bullying, and like undiagnosed disabilities. There's a lot of disengagement lately too. And I think all of this stuff kind of plays into what we're about to talk about. But basically, this is a chronic issue that's going across schools. I'm seeing it in schools. I know you guys are as well. And it's also being documented. It's kind of like whenever, if you're an adult listening, I think some of the things that we're seeing with students, we're also seeing with adults. Whenever it's, hey, we went to this whole work from home setting where you're going to be able to do things on your own time and work on your own time and not have any social things. And then we just ripped the carpet out from underneath and said, okay, now you got to come back. There's full adults that have not handled well being told to go from work from home and come back to the office. And like, I have friends that have literally quit jobs because they've gotten so used to being work from home or hybrid or something like that, and being told they can't do it is a game breaker for them. So just one thing to be aware of is that we have asked our students to do that in the last 4 years, and just reminding ourselves that not only have we asked them to do that cold turkey, but they also are not in a mental space where they can handle it as well as some adults may be able to. Attendance may not be prioritized at home. They might be overlooking excused absences, like they're going on vacations or college visits or extracurricular things. But all of these things tend to affect not only personal goals and grades and stuff, but it does affect them mentally as well.
One thing that I think is so interesting is this chronic absenteeism, like in the past, impacts students who maybe come from disadvantaged communities, underserved populations, lower socioeconomic populations. But since COVID, like when I was looking at this too, it's affecting students almost across the board. Like it used to be certain populations, and now it's way more widespread. And I think some of that is parents are more likely to be like, oh, you're not feeling good, just stay home. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're stressed about that, stay home. Like, I think people are more aware. And because it was the norm for so long, it's easier just to be like, oh, you just don't have to go. Mm-hmm. But there are huge consequences for that. I saw that each week of absences per semester in ninth grade is connected to more than 20% decline in the probability of you graduating from high school.
I think some of this too is, like, I see this with my own student, my own teenager, is in the pandemic, teachers had to get more online with how they assign things and stuff. And now schools have adopted a lot of those policies like Canvas and Blackboard and other things. And if a student is out, like if my son is out of school, he can still get all of his activities, his assignments, and still turn them in, like even in real time. The only thing he's really missing is the lecture. And so it's a good thing because it definitely helps teachers to have things online. It helps students to have things online. But it's kind of a double-edged sword because we've created a system where if you are missing school, the worst thing that's happening to you is that you're costing the school money. And if you care about finals, like you're not going to be exempt from finals depending on the school. And so in a way, we've kind of created a lot of that of, well, I'm not going to go to school because I don't really feel like it, and I can do everything at home in my own time, and then have some extra time on top of that as well. So if you're a school staff listening, just remind yourself, like, you need to, like, pay attention to this kind of thing. Like, it's very easy as a school staff to label a kid of, like, oh, he's lazy or they don't care. Mm-hmm. We all know this. School staff knows this too, but just a reminder that, like, there's probably something behind that. When I was teaching, I saw a lot of students that were especially late in tardiness. If they aren't driving, they literally cannot control that.
Right.
Unless the parent, because I will tell you, at the times that kids could control that because they're not waking up on time and stuff, like, that was still, in my opinion, a parent issue of the kid, even if they're not waking up to them by themselves, the parents should be doing that. And if they're trying to set a lesson, that's one thing, but they literally cannot control that being on time. Mm-hmm. If they don't have rides or public transportation, like, a lot of schools around me, they only have public transportation for certain areas or certain apartment complexes. So, like, some schools don't even have that option. So just remind yourself that some of this stuff is out of their hand completely. And I think we're in an age too where some parents don't trust schools, and which has always been a true case, but I think it's definitely heightened lately. And they may not put value in them being there. And so if the parent is not setting the example that there's value in being in school, then you can't expect the teenager to value that as well. So just remind yourself that. And then teens, not only stay with school staff, one more thing with school staff. If a teen does miss, like, start, we've talked this before a little bit, but kind of weigh, is it worth fighting the battle by with making up work and giving them zeros, whatever? Like, give them the chance to kind of prove that they're there to catch up, and, like, give them a chance to catch up. Don't just immediately throw the door down and say, I'm out.
And that's where, like, asking good questions and being curious about, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because there might be something there that they need a resource, or they need your help, not just to be buried under work or another lecture from another adult. And so, especially if you have a connection with the student, make sure you're the one that's checking on them, because we know that if you're a school staff person, we know that you care about kids. We know that you have their best interest at heart. And so sometimes it takes that perspective change of, like, not just thinking, man, they don't care about my class and I'm going to be mad about that, but hey, maybe there's a reason that they're missing so much, and I should be curious as to why that reason is.
Yeah. And if you are a teen listening, I didn't never do this, because in my school, if you missed one day unexcused, you weren't exempt from finals. And that was a big must for me. I did my skipping classes in college. And so I will just tell you, in high school and in college for that matter, like, skipping school, skipping classes for reasons that are not valid, it will catch up to you, and it will, and it's just going to create, like, I had a group recently with some students that were literally saying that in December they were trying to catch their grades up, because at that point they were locked in, they were in classes, they were ready to go, but it was almost too late. Thankfully, they had teachers that were letting them kind of catch up. But what happened was it just piled on, and it created this extra stress on top of the normal stress you're already dealing with. So every day you don't go to school for a reason that's not valid, other than you just don't want to go, you're just creating future problems in a snowball for yourself. So if you are listening, like, trust me, I understand that there are days that you just can't, and you might need mental health days, and that's okay, but your mental health is going to take a bigger hit in the future when you're trying to catch up because you decided to skip one day to play video games or be lazy and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm only talking about, like, reasons that don't make sense. If you are sick or you have family issues or it's something out of your control, like by all means, like, do what you need to do, take care of yourself and your family. But yeah, get to school when you can get to school.
It's interesting too, because I, 2020 hit, I was a junior in college, had to come back senior year. And so, like, I was in school still a little bit for that transition. And it's weird, because it's like, we've proven we can do this. Like, we've proven that I don't have to be here to still function.
Right.
But I mean, it's too that interesting thing of, like, if I think back to during COVID, like, it was miserable, right? Like, that working, like, having to do school from home, not interacting with the teacher in person, being able to form relationships with classmates and people to help me along with my classes was miserable, and it was a big hit. But it's interesting too, because when you come back, it's like, well, there were parts about being home that I did enjoy, mm-hmm. right? And so it can be easy to spiral into, well, it was maybe better because I had more free time. I was able to do the things that I liked, but also balance out with the fact that, like, the things that you are missing out on whenever you do get to go, of your friends, of you are getting a better education and a better grasp and understanding of what's going on. It's important, and I totally understand too the hardness of getting out of bed. I think there's a reason why that dip, or why absences increased after COVID, right? Mm-hmm. That was obviously the sparking point of it all. But like Tobin said, reach out for help, connect. Mm-hmm. The more relationships that you have, the easier it is to get to school. Wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe to us. Be sure to follow us on TikTok, on Instagram. We're on like all the social media. So follow us, share, leave a review. But wherever you're listening, we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved.